On this episode of the Naturist Living Show, Naked Documentary.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
Welcome, dear listener, to episode 126 of the Naturist Living Show. My name is Stéphane Deschaine. I'm your host for the podcast and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. And today we are going to have a very interesting discussion about nudity and its meaning. For a documentary called Naked, N-A-K-E-D. The idea is naked. Naked education. It was a play on word, and quite clever. Unfortunately for Jan, as you'll hear, it's not an ideal name for searching on the web, so you're going to have to look for the links. So, but before we get started, I really want to thank our contributors, our Patreon contributors that are making this show possible and making it possible for us to keep developing and growing and improve and increase the frequency and the regularity of the show. So I want to thank Rick C, Dan M, Juan Pablo R, Chris P, and John W. Thank you for supporting the show through Patreon. And if you're not already supporting the show to Patreon and you're listening, please, if you could, we'd really appreciate your support. It's patreon.com/naturistlivingshow. You have to type it or go from our website because we have to make it adult, and that means it doesn't show up in the search. So when I was searching, I don't even remember how I found this documentary. Somehow it came up, perhaps in one of my social media feeds. I know we shared it, or we shared something about it. But I came across a documentary about nudity, and that's fascinating. The fact that it was done in Norway, but in English, was even more interesting. The fact that it was available censored on YouTube was very intriguing. It was available for free on YouTube, censored, and uncensored to Vimeo for a very small fee. It was also available in horizontal and vertical format. So really, there's a version that's vertical and it's cut in small bits that you can watch on your phone. So it's vertical because people never turn their phones sideways, or rarely do. I do. If I'm watching something, which is obviously more theatrical in ratio, but apparently a lot of people don't even when it's that way. So there's a version that makes up for that, so you can watch it vertically. And that's an interesting idea, an interesting format. And in fact, they're short for people who just like to consume little bits at a time in between things or during breaks or during transit. Was very intriguing. So I watched it. I paid for the full version, the uncensored version, partially because, you know, it's always irritating to see things censored when you're trying to normalize nudity, but also because I wanted to support the artist and the work. And I think it's $4 or $6 or $8. Very, very little, very reasonable, and definitely worth it. And then I was so taken by the documentary that I contacted them and see if somebody was willing to talk about it. And Jan Dalshow, the producer, director, I don't remember the exact positions, but he's the key person who put this together, agreed to be interviewed. And so I hope you enjoy our conversation. I certainly did.
Yes, my name is Jan Dalshow. I'm living in Norway, in Oslo. And I've been working with media and culture since I was 17 years old, so for many, many years. And first in radio and television, and the last 20 years or so, I've been working with documentary filmmaking.
And you have created a documentary called Naked. Do you want to describe that for our listener?
Yes, Naked is... originally, we wanted to make it a theatrical released film, but the work on this project has been going on for 12 years for different reasons. And a year ago, we decided to make it an internet distributed series in 10 episodes made in high format, so you could watch it on your cell phone. But we also made it in a regular TV version. I've always been very curious about why nudity makes such fuss, and why it's seen upon as illegal. From early childhood, I couldn't understand this, why I was shamed for nudity. And while growing up, I saw that people kind of went along with that. Nudity equals shame. And I never felt like that's a healthy thing. Because... having a bad relationship to your own body and others' bodies is—it's not gonna help you get very far. So 12 years ago, I started to make this project Naked to challenge myself and people about this. I had so much shame so much body shame that even telling my closest family that I enjoyed naturism was difficult. Now, looking back, I can't understand what was the problem. But now I'm kind of I'm a naked pro.
So what did you feel that your parents disapproved?
No, I don't feel that. But I feel like you are often looked upon as a strange person when you promote a nude lifestyle. And I don't even like the terms naturism, nudism. I don't like boxes. I feel like a human being who prefers to be naked when I think that's a good thing. I think bathing with bathing suits, with bathing shorts on, is a very, very strange concept. It's like driving a car with a bucket over your head. And when I say that to people, they can't understand me. But I can't understand them. Or I understand that they have grown up in a society that forces the shame on them to use this clothing when swimming, which is totally impractical. But it's only to cover up shame. I think more and more people understand it, but it's so deeply rooted in all of us. So it's a really big thing to change. Okay, so this was lit of the background for making Naked.
I think it's very interesting, the background, and in fact, tell me about the Norwegian attitude towards nudity compared to other European countries and maybe compared to the United States, because I know obviously you've been there because it's in the documentary. What's the Norwegian attitude?
When I'm in the States, people look to Norway and say, oh, in Norway and in the Scandinavian countries, you are so free and liberated. we have nude beaches. We have these possibilities, and you won't get arrested or you won't get into trouble. I mean, it's not like that. On television, on state television, you can show nude people without blurring anything out. But in the States, of course, and I guess in Canada as well, you have to censor nudity on television. But the regular people's attitude towards nudity is quite complicated. We see more and more young people cover themselves, for instance, when showering, going to the gym, or in other places. To show your body is a big taboo, and the people you meet at the naturist beach is very often 50 plus, mainly men. But of course, there are others as well. But it's a long way to go to. I mean, I'm trying to educate people that in Norway and in most Western countries, it's not illegal to be naked anywhere. But there is a lot of other laws, for instance, traffic laws, laws that they use against making being naked in public makes so much trouble because cars stops and things like that. But people are really surprised when they understand that they are not, it's not illegal. So my goal would be that if you go to a beach in Norway, you should be able to swim without your clothes or sunbath without your clothes, side by side with people who prefer to have clothes on them.
So I know that sauna is very popular in Scandinavian countries and in Norway. Do people start to wear clothes in the sauna?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I'm afraid. Especially in Norway, you're almost looked upon as a strange person walking in naked now in saunas. So I do, and I had reactions to it. But in Finland, I guess it's okay because there the sauna culture is so big. So, and in Denmark, I also think it's quite okay. Sweden, I don't know, but it's time to turn the trend because it's absolutely going the wrong direction.
So you're 52. I'm 54. We're about the same age. Mm-hmm. Do you see, especially when you talk maybe with parents and people that are older, do you things? And you said this, things are changing. We're going towards more body shame, even in Norway.
Yeah, that's my. I think so. I think it's going that direction. But at the same time, when I present my documentary and talk to people about this, people are quite eager to listen, and they often understand that this is a problem, and they don't have to go further than themselves to understand that this is something we have to be aware of and take more serious than we maybe do, because it will, it has so many side effects.
So why do you think this is happening? Why do you think Norwegians are becoming more ashamed in the younger people?
Yeah, this can be difficult to explain in English for me, but let me see.
It's okay. Take your time.
Yeah. I think there's many theories about this. Some people say it's because of immigrants and other religions. Some people say it's because of the mobile cameras. There's cameras everywhere, so people are afraid to get nude. Those reasons, I think it's really small. That's not the main reasons. The main reasons are more into the culture of being seen and being perfect in every way. I think the social media the English is not...
No, your English is great. Don't worry.
But I don't have too many words. The Norwegian words are... Yeah, because it's... how should I say it?
Do you want to describe the concept and I'll see if I can think of the word?
Yes. That. No, I mean... the pressure... the pressure to look your best, which is not the best in my opinion, but is the best, the ideal to for how you should look is forced upon us.
People sometimes call the beauty myth.
Yeah, the beauty myth. Thank you. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest reason for this body shame. The race of body shame is this, but I don't have too many words to explain it in English.
No, I think that's good.
Yeah,
but do you think my theory is that a lot of that is coming from the United States because that's what we are adapting to even more today. The rules for nudity on social media are set by YouTube. They are set by Facebook. They are set by the people who create these. And the community standard, and I say that that way because it bothers me because it's not my community and it's not your community, but we have to follow these everywhere in the world, no matter what. But also the films we see, the television shows we see, many come from the United States. And I've been watching, one of the things I enjoy about Netflix is that I can watch shows from around the world. And I've watched some Danish shows, and Belgian shows. And I was just last night, I was watching a show from Denmark and about politics and the prime minister there, and it's called Borgen. I don't know if you've seen it.
Absolutely. It's a very good show. Yeah,
and I keep seeing women who sleep with their brassiere on. I don't think many women do that. And I see women, even when they're having sexual relations, they keep their brassiere on. And I think they're doing that because they're making a show that they want to be possible to show in the United States.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think they would make it that way otherwise, right?
I agree with you. We made, I mean, this, our main idea with the distribution of our documentary project, Naked, was to give it away for free as episodes on social media. But we knew that wouldn't be possible because of the community standards. Mm-hmm. So we made one version which is totally censored. We put in black boxes and blurs all over. So you won't be able to... I think we even have gone further than some of the community standards says. Because, so... And we released it on Facebook, on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram... And we made an uncensored version, which we put on Vimeo On Demand, where you can buy it, the whole series, for about $3. And we give away the surplus to organizations who work against censorship or for body freedom, body positivity. But the problem, the first problem we met was... TikTok, when we released the first episode, they took us down, the whole user.
Even though you had censored everything?
Yes. And no answers on complaints, no explanations. So TikTok was over for us. We couldn't use that platform anymore. And when you go to TikTok and check out some of the other body image content there, you might be surprised because, of course, the followers who really have big numbers on that channel is it's women with artificial breasts and not a very healthy positive body image. Anyway. And then we continued, of course, on the other platforms. It went okay on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We didn't use Snapchat because we didn't have the resources. Mm-hmm. We put it on YouTube as well. But after some days, suddenly Facebook also stopped one of the episodes. Actually, the episode from, we made an episode from San Francisco. Mm. And they took that down. Even, again, it was totally censored by us.
Yes, and I've seen it.
Yeah.
Just for people who are listening who can't see it, the black box is enormous. Like, you cannot see, like, you can barely see a shoulder or a knee. Like, everything is covered.
Yes, yeah, so what we did, we actually made one big black box over the whole picture, except from, like, 2 millimeters on the edges. And we let some subtitles and the sound be on it, and we made it say that we have to censor it because of the community standards. Even that was taken down, but after a while they also they let that be, and we also did paid promotion trailers on Facebook, which they time and time again stopped. And they only allowed it when we removed our website address, which is naked.org or
Dash.
Dash.
Yeah.
ed.org. Yeah. As in naked education, naked.org. And then they explained to us that that website was the reason it was looked upon as pornography, which it is absolutely not. So we were really surprised how big problems we got. And YouTube, they age restricted all the material we had, even though it was censored. And now Facebook has taken the Facebook page we have for Naked, and it's still there, but it won't be visible in people's feeds if they are not extremely connected to the site.
So shadow banning, as they say.
Thank you. That's the name. That's the name. So it's not easy for us to get through. If this has gone the way we planned it to go, we should have been able to reach out to a lot more people. But every day people watch episodes we have on Vimeo On Demand and elsewhere. So I'm thankful for that. We get the message through, even though it's going very slow.
Hmm. So you said it's frustrating. Doesn't that make you angry too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And but I have to say just to you that a big reason that we failed was also because of COVID-19, because that destroyed for a lot of organizations we have should cooperate with. And so
You know what, Samantha? Yeah. I'm talking to the Samantha edits this. We will make an exception and we will allow that because it is relevant in this case. Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Well, I also have to say that even there was a lot of reasons having with censorship in social medias to do that made it difficult for us to reach out with the project. We also we had planned to have a lot of we planned to work together with a lot of NGOs and influencers to spread the word. And we worked a long time to collect people we should work together with. The problem is, at the moment we should do our release, COVID-19 had really struck. And organizations and individuals didn't have the capacity anymore because they had to use the energy on other stuff in their organizations. So we lost a lot of the lift we needed to get Naked out there. And we already had our personnel on contract, and we couldn't get out of that, so we had to use the money we had. So some unfortunate things happened. But the project is still there, and it's timeless in a way. Hopefully it's timeless in a way that we can laugh at it at some time. But I think it will be current for a long time forward as well.
Yeah, it's a very good movie, by the way. I purchased it. I watched the whole thing.
Thank you.
It's such a little bit of money. I hope everybody that's listening goes and purchases it and supports what you are doing. This whole censorship is so frustrating because, and it makes me angry too, because as you experienced, you are following the rules. You are following every rule, and then they still censor, and they don't explain why. You cannot get an answer from anyone. And sometimes you ask them to reconsider because it's a possibility, and they do, and they say, no, we're right, even though you know they're wrong.
Yes.
Because it's clearly written that if there is no nudity, there's no sexuality. What I think I've come to understand, of course, there are thousands of people who are reviewing things for these companies, and they all have a different way of looking at it. And for some people, the concept of nudity, the idea of nudity, is still a problem. It's still nudity in their mind. So even though you put a big black square over their entire body, you know they're nude behind it, and therefore there is nudity. I think that's how it works. I'm not sure because I can't have a conversation with the people, but I think that's how it's working in some people's minds. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm really frustrated about it because, as you say, it's impossible to follow the rules because they break the rules and they make rules or they don't communicate with you. And I mean, we support Facebook and the other social media's intent of protecting women, children, and men from being exploited commercially. However, their far too strict guidelines stops us from reaching out to people struggling with body shame and stop meaningful discussion and on society and social media's biased against nudity. It's really, really difficult to get through.
So, yeah. So that is half of the problem. Although it's actually not something you talk very specifically in this documentary, but maybe it's worth a new documentary on your experience that you've had dealing with social media, because I think it's very important. I think this is how we all communicate, and this is very much affecting how we view ourselves and our bodies and how we produce video, movies, documentaries. It's changing the world. And of course, in my opinion, and yours as well, obviously, this is a bad thing because it's increasing the body shame.
It is, absolutely. And even though the project, the content of the film and the series is not geared especially towards this. We mentioned it a couple of times, but we had in mind that releasing it with black boxes on social media would be part of a campaign against social media's censorship of nudity. But of course, when they totally suppressed our project so much that people even don't have to see that. So, yeah.
Just a quick break. We're not done. To remind you that if you're not supporting us through Patreon, please take a moment, if you can afford it, and if you think what we do is worth it, to support us through Patreon, to support the work that Samantha's doing, making this show a regular, a higher quality show, and making it possible for this to keep going. You don't have to. The show will always be free and always available because we want to spread the word. But if you can, patreon.com/naturistlivingshow. And let's just continue now with our show. So let's go back to talking about the film, because that's what it is about, and people should see it, and it should encourage others to see it, particularly people who are not naturists. So there are three areas you really kind of look at. The first one is a project by Kenneth Sortland Mikkelbust, yeah. I think, yeah, is how you say it.
Yeah? Yes.
A photographer. And how did you, why don't you describe his project to start with?
Yeah, it's called the Thousand Bodies Project, and he invites people, everyday people, regular people, to photo studios around the world. He travels, and you get a remote control and a theater mask, which the mask you have to have in the picture. You don't have to wear it. You can put it on the floor, or you can hide your genitals, or you can speak to it, or whatever you want. And you are left alone in the photo studio, and you can use the remote to click once. You have one exposure to take a picture of yourself naked. So all the pictures have the same white frame, and he collects these 1,000 images for a book and for an exhibition. And I followed. I was really captivated by his project, and I made a deal with him that we could follow him to some of his photo sessions. And we met a lot of the models participating in the project, filming them while they made their pose. We just put two cameras into the studio and left the studio, so the models could be alone, as intended for the Thousand Bodies Project. And after their shoot, we let them go into a room where they also were alone, and got questions from us on the notes, and answered questions about motivation and how they felt doing this, and it was a lot of interesting, quite deep answers to that.
Yes, it's really good. It's very good. Like, it's really powerful, because these are people who are struggling in a lot of cases.
Yeah, a lot of the people had the motivation to do this, to get to another level, to crush their own shame, and to be more body positive, to challenge themselves. And they also felt that it actually helped.
What I found was interesting is they had obviously agreed to let you have the video camera in there, but in at least one case, you have video, but it is blurred in the uncensored version.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. So some of the models, they got an option doing the agreement for participating in our project, that they could say, I don't want my genitals to be shown. So the ones who did that, they were blurred.
Yeah. Okay, but their picture, is it still in the book or in the exhibition?
Yes.
Without any blurring?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
So it's, but I think it had to, some of the thoughts from some of them is connecting the nude image to their identity. Maybe they used their mask, the mask in front of their face, but the rest was for all to see. And in the film, the identity will be revealed. I mean, I don't know what people think, but if you're a little unsure about it, it would be maybe make it a little more safe to put a cross on that in the agreement.
I find it funny, and I respect how the people feel. Don't get me wrong. I totally understand the emotions around nudity because I've talked to so many people about it. So I'm not making fun of them. I am laughing, though, a little bit at some of the societal rules that have caused this for people to feel that way. Because, one of the examples I find strange, for example, is in movies. In movies, there are many actors and actresses who do not want their genitals to be shown. But they are okay with a body double, another person, being in the movie. So people think it is their bodies, but it is not. And we see somebody else's genitals that we think is their genitals, but it's not really their genitals. And that is okay. But the real genitals are not okay.
That's, that's maybe a little, not a, what do we say in Norway? Mal apropos. I seen a documentary about transsexuals and a man being corrected to a female. And then during the operation, the nipples are blurred when the man becomes a female, which is also quite disturbing.
Yes.
but I also have to say that, when you watch the film, there's a scene from a dance performance where there are 50 nude extras and dancers on stage. And that's also an example where some of them didn't want their nudity to be shown in a film. So there's a lot of blurring of some people there as well, which was a big challenge and a really expensive thing to do.
Yes, that's an interesting part as well, where people participate in this dance. Where was that, by the way?
That was in Oslo in a theater called Black Box. So it was really a special thing to be a part of. That's one of the places in the film where I challenge myself and my fear of nudity. But you can hear and see more of my experience in the film.
Yes. Yeah, that's very interesting.
I also have to say that I totally respect the extras and the dancers that didn't want their naked pictures in my film. But it's the same what you talked about. It's how it's difficult to understand why it becomes such a conflict in people's mind.
Well, it is, and it's something that I've struggled with because at Bear Oaks you cannot take pictures of people without their permission. Is it possible that somebody could do it secretly? Well, today it's so easy to do little tiny cameras that it's possible. We've caught people trying to do it a few times, not very often. As far as we know, they've never succeeded. But people then say, well, what if they did? What if there's a picture out there of me and people are doing things with it I don't want? And I understand the anxiety they feel and why it's upsetting, but it's not their fault. And they should not feel responsibility for that. They should not feel shame. They should not feel discomfort that somebody is doing something that they don't give permission for. They shouldn't stop being who they are, and they shouldn't stop doing things they want to do because of that. Because if you really think about it, because there are cameras everywhere, if you go to the toilet in a restaurant, there could be a camera. If you go to try on clothes in the department store, they could be a camera. We know there's been stories of that happening. If you rent a hotel room, they could be a camera. These things have happened. And if we are so afraid of our picture being out there, and it's a very real thing, I'm not saying it's not real. It's real for people. But I think people have to get over the idea, because otherwise they cannot live their life the way they want to.
Absolutely. And I've been saying in the press here in Norway and other places that the fear of our own nudity, the fear of being public with our nudity, we have to turn that around. And I also take seriously that some people's nude images are used in ways they shouldn't and that they don't agree on. But if we could give especially young people some tools to be more, okay, so what? It's not the end of the world. I mean, there are people committing suicide because some young people took their picture in at the wardrobe in the gym and put it on the internet. But if that young person also had learned to kind of defend themselves in not seeing that their naked picture would destroy their future. Mm-hmm. Because it's not like that.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's something with my children when they were young that I explained with regards to bullying. I said, when somebody tries to bully you, it only works if you care. If you do not care, they do not have power.
Yeah.
And you see with some celebrities, there's some that say, oh my God, it's terrible. There's pictures of me nude when I was young. And they make a big fuss, and then they give the power to the people who have the pictures. There's other celebrities.
Yeah. We have to take that power.
Yeah,
back.
You have to say, they're pictures of me. Yeah. And you can be angry. You can say, look, he's not supposed to be using it, but whatever. It's not right, but whatever.
Yeah.
You can be upset, and you can say it's not right, but you can't let it control you.
And I have to say, if I rewind some years, I was exactly there, where I was so afraid to be seen naked and so afraid to have my picture taken naked. So I can, of course, understand it. But when you get through it, like me being naked in my own film, having press photos of myself naked in the newspapers in Norway and elsewhere online. If you Google my name, you will find film and video of me naked. Now it's out there. Now it's now I can continue with my life with no problem.
Yeah. So the last major area you are in is San Francisco in 2012, when they were having a vote banning nudity, because nudity was allowed for people who may not know. In San Francisco, you could be nude and walk anywhere. And then a vote came, ironically. Because of the a motion or a law put forward by a man whose last name is Wiener, and it passed by one vote. So that's the background for those who didn't know. Is that how this documentary started? That was quite a while ago. And why did you choose to include that into the whole documentary?
It actually didn't start with that. That was during research, and I already started to film Kenneth Sortland Myklebust's 1,000 Bodies project. And then suddenly in a tabloid newspaper in Norway, it was a small note about the nudity ban in San Francisco. And of course, a picture of one of the protesters, Gypsy Taube, nude, of course. That make headlines even in Norwegian tabloids. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. Someone fighting a ban against nudity? Where in the world other than San Francisco might that be? So I called Gypsy Taub and the others and said, I would like to follow this story for my film. And they said, yes. And I went to San Francisco. And during a couple of visits, and I also hired a photographer in San Francisco to record something when I wasn't able to be there. During 3 years, I guess, I followed the case. For me, it was such a... Most people will say, well, walking nude around in the streets, that's not for me. For me, it's not very important to walk nude in the city center of Oslo or anywhere. But the idea of that it is illegal, that I could be prosecuted and arrested for being nude outside, that I don't like. I don't like that anyone should criminalize my body just for being my body. So that was one of the reasons that I thought this story in San Francisco was so special. And in Norway, and probably most other places, it would be unlikely to think that the city government will even discuss a law for or against nudity. But the discussion amongst the politicians in San Francisco was a really serious debate. And the nudity ban, the discussion and the fight against the nudity ban and how the politicians in San Francisco discussed it brings up so many interesting topics about criminalizing bodies, about the freedom of speech, and so many basic liberties and things that we take for granted. So I wanted to include that in my project to really give people something to think about. I think many people are provoked by it. And sometimes I look at the protesters in San Francisco as like a future race. I mean, some future people which are not in this time. And hopefully it will sink in for others later on. When one person throws her clothes off in the city hall and like five guards, armed guards, throw blankets to cover the naked body, that's a picture which at least I gives me a lot of things to think about.
Yes, it's for anybody who's interested in the story of what happened in San Francisco, you probably have the best story of it. It's a documentary in itself, what happened in San Francisco. And of all the people who have told it, I think yours is the most interesting because it's the most in-depth.
Thank you. It's a really complex story. And of course, the part we tell is of course just an edited part. It could be a Netflix series in itself, the whole thing. 10 episodes of 50 minutes each.
Yes, and maybe you might consider doing a documentary just on that.
Yes, it's been in my thoughts, and in a way the story continues, but it's a very time-consuming thing to make, but I hope someone else will dig into it. It has so many facets.
You know, it's one of the things about the United States that's fascinating, right? There is no such thing as an American. Everyone is different in the United States. And yes, there are the very intolerant people who want to tell everyone else what to do. But there are many people who are the opposite. There are many people, new ideas, people who want to challenge things, who want to see things differently and want to the opportunity to do that. In a lot of ways, they're allowed to do that. You know, the big misunderstanding sometimes that I find is that the United States is not one country. It's 50 little countries. And within yes. each one of those little countries, there are still big differences. There's huge difference between San Francisco and Los Angeles, if you visited the two places.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like two different countries with two different people.
And of course, I mean, you're so right in what you're saying. And for me, meeting all these people I met in San Francisco fighting against this nudity ban, I mean, that was a lot of different people. They were not agreed in everything, all of them. They had their own personalities, their own way of their own motivations of being fighting for this. But it's I almost didn't meet anyone in Norway like that.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, a couple of people like that, but not so many as in San Francisco.
So the one thing you don't talk about at all, and you don't interview, is naturism or nudism. You don't go to a nude beach. You don't go to a nudist or naturist club. You don't talk to any naturists or nudists who are obviously very focused on nudity and body acceptance. So
that's really interesting because I when you said that now, I thought, why don't I? And yeah, you're right. I don't think I do that. No, I don't.
So that was not intentional. You didn't even think about that, huh?
During my 12 years of making this project, I talked to a lot of nudists, and I also went to a nudist camp talking to a lot of nudists or naturists. Really interesting conversations. There's different reasons why I didn't include that. One of them is that some of the people I filmed later on said that I was not allowed to use the material.
Oh.
Because, yeah, something with the family or, yeah, something happened and then they couldn't be nude anymore. It was not only naturists, by the way, that's redrawn from the project after I filmed. We had a lot of problems like that during the 12 years. We had many characters which are not in the many stories which are not anymore because of that. But on the other hand, I went into dialogue with the naturist movement in Norway and other places, and especially in Norway, I think I met too much trouble, too much narrow-mindedness, too much challenges, and so much internally, so much many fights internally in the organizations. So much prejudice, and yeah, in a way, I felt like the naturist movement was was something old and dying, which didn't want to cope with new ideas. That this is really, yeah, but of course it's different. There are different people in the movement, but. Yeah, I really struggled to understand a lot of the ideas.
Yeah, it's it is challenging. It is. I was just on Reddit actually. There was somebody else who was doing a documentary on nudism in the United States, presumably because that's where he is, and he's getting funding from ANR. And you know, I said I hope it's not another one of those simplified documentaries, because they all try to present naturism or nudism as one thing. And we can't even agree on the word.
Yeah.
So it is the problem. And that's one of the problems. The problem is recognizing there are people who are interested in body acceptance and body freedom, which is really what your documentary is more about. And that's a very valid thing. And it's a thing that I think all naturists and nudists accept. And especially in the past, the people who were looking for that came to naturism because that's where they could have body acceptance and body freedom. But the problem is the movement, when you really look into it, is not actually about that. Yes, it is about body acceptance, but it's about accepting yourself and others and living in a more natural way. It's not about the right to be naked. And The two are not necessarily, they don't go against each other. But I see a lot of arguments with people who say, look, it's about freedom. Stop telling me I have to be naked. But in a naturist environment, because it's about equality, everyone being naked together is important. So that's one of the examples where there is conflict within the movement, because you have people who are looking for different things or see it as a thing. So when you say you don't like the label, it depends on what you think it is, right? Because if your definition matches what you want, then you love the label. Sometimes people say, young people don't want labels. Well, that's not true, because I keep meeting young people who say they're vegans and they're very proud to be vegans. And I understand why they're proud to be vegans. It's a strong idea. And so they say it with pride and they wear the label. But that's because it means something to them and they want to be that. And if there is a problem, in my opinion, with naturism, is that we have lost the meaning. The definition is gone.
Yeah, that's maybe you're right. And I mean, what I met was, I thought it was a lot of internalized shame in a way. People were very afraid of how one should, if I as a journalist come in and do something, they were so controlled about what the outcome should be. And when I also talked about that, the film will cover topics like sexuality, they were so afraid of that aspect, because sexuality has nothing to do with naturism, I hear again and again. And I think that naturism kind of suppresses sexuality.
Yes. Yep.
Which I don't think is a good thing. So they, in a way, often shame sexuality. Of course, I mean, you could be naked without the sexuality thing in it, but I could be clothed with a lot of sexuality. I mean, I want people to be a little free-minded about, you can't make limits on feelings.
No, I understand that, but and it's something that I've debated. I very much believe in sex positivity. I think, you know, there should be no shame in sexuality either. The problem as a naturist and as the owner of a naturist club is I cannot have a workshop or a discussion associated with naturism about sex positivity. The reason I can't, even though they should be able to do it, is in the main world, everyone believes that naturism is about sex. And even the slightest little hint that there's a connection somehow confirms it in a big way to the people outside. So
this is the core what you're talking about now.
Yeah. And it's so I think some naturists become so tired of having to explain that they start to sound like they think sex is bad.
Yes.
And it's not that they mean to, I don't think. I think they have said this so many times and have been accused so many times of being perverts, whether having sex is pervert or not is a whole other discussion I don't agree with, but they're fighting the mainstream world, and that's why it seems that way. And that's why sometimes it is, but it shouldn't be. You're right.
For instance, in Norway, in Oslo, we have a Oslo Naturist Association. And during the winter, they have swimming indoors.
Yeah. Yeah, we do that here in Canada as well.
Yeah. And that's a good thing now, because today it's snowing here.
Yeah.
But at a meeting in the Oslo Naturist Association I attended some years back, it was a topic was raised, and that topic was, there are too many children and too many men at the indoors swimming. And the men, when they play with children in the water, for instance, if the children sit on their shoulders and jump in the water, that doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
And and then I asked, has there been any real problems with this? No, it hasn't, thank God, but it's it doesn't look good. And by raising such a theme, they kind of put suspicion on all the men,
yeah,
for being pedophiles.
Yes.
Which is a really, really strange thing to do. You wouldn't do that if it was a clothed swim club. So there's something.
No,
you understand. You understand, yeah, where I'm heading.
Yeah, there's something wrong too that we have to fix, which is this connection between children, nudity, and sex again, which is new, because when you and I were young 50 years ago, and someone saw a picture of a nude child, they didn't think about sex. Now you show anyone a picture of a nude child, the first thing they think about is sex and pedophiles and that child pornography. We have changed society that's what they think about. And I'm not saying that we should be okay with pedophiles. We shouldn't. But it's a very, very, very tiny, tiny percentage of the population. And in naturism, it doesn't really happen because the children are with their parents. So they're not at risk. When you hear about where it happens in the school, it happens in the Boy Scouts, it happens in the church, where the children are left alone with an adult. Rarely, not very often, even in those places. I'm not saying those places are problems even. But it doesn't happen in naturism at the pool. There's 100 people there. What is going to happen?
Yes.
So
this is, I don't know how to fix this problem, how to...
Well, maybe there's a new documentary there.
Yeah, if I had the resources and the time, I would absolutely make Naked, the series and the film, deeper and longer and more episodes and, a season two.
So what is the future of Naked? Is that it? You're done?
No, I'm not done. It's for Naked, it will still be online for all to see, to purchase for a small fee, or the censored version for free at YouTube or elsewhere if you can find it. You have to Google a little, I guess. But the long version, the film version, will also have a film festival live. I can't tell you right now where, but hopefully somewhere in North America and around Europe and other places. And it will be screened on television here in Norway on the state television channel next year. In 2021, and it's newly presented at the biggest documentary film market, Docs for Sale. So a lot of people, a lot of buyers and interested people watched it there. We have an agent, a Canadian agent actually. So we hope it gets out there even more. I mean. During next year, during 2021, I hope it will be seen by many, many more.
And then, is there any future projects?
At the moment, I'm working on some other projects, not about nudity, but most of my films touches upon something that has to be about freedom, the freedom to be whoever you are, about honesty, and about being different in a world where you're not always supposed to be different, but where everyone is different, but they have to learn to accept it.
So it is fascinating to me that a European from a Scandinavian country would still have issues with nudity. Because as we know, nudity, and as you heard, nudity in Europe is much more common than it is in North America. But that doesn't mean it's still not an issue. You may be nude in the sauna, but that doesn't mean that people are completely comfortable with the body. You might see nudity in advertising or in daytime television, but it doesn't mean that you're not feeling body shame. And unfortunately, we seem to be sliding back. And that's something we really should be concerned about. And that's where naturism, ethical naturism with the acceptance of the body, is really important, because we have to keep putting the word out there that nudity isn't just for the consumption of the body, visual consumption, for the objectification, or for sexual gratification. The body is us. The body is who we are. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, because most people listening to this, I'm sure, agree. But we made great advances in the 20th century. And now in the 21st century, because of community standards on the internet, as you heard, it was incredibly limiting, and a lot of self-censorship as a result by Jan and his team in order to try to get the message out there, and it still had challenges. So that has an effect. That kind of statement makes people think that there is something wrong with nudity. It makes them think they should hide. The fact that when people have nude images, they then abuse them. But it's the abusers who are doing something wrong. It's not that there's something wrong with the image. Yet somehow the message is getting out there that nudity itself, an image of nudity, a photo, a video of you nude, is wrong. It's not. It's just you. How it's being abused is the problem of the person doing the abuse. It's no different if they take your picture anywhere without your permission and use it in the wrong context. Whether you're nude or dressed, it doesn't matter. They could be taking your pictures inside the washroom without you knowing, or in a change room, or in your own bedroom or in a hotel room. Not to make you paranoid. You shouldn't be, but it's possible. And if it happens, yes, we should be angry at the people who are doing it. But no, we should not be ashamed. No, we shouldn't stop living our lives the way we want to and the way we think we should. We have to fight the people who objectify us and use us and abuse us, not cower away and hide and agree that there's something shameful with that imagery. And it's so sad to see that even Europe now is falling prey to that attitude, especially the Scandinavian countries, Norway, Sweden, all of them. I was in Denmark, and it was, you know, you can see a different attitude, but you can still see the influence of North American media. Hollywood movies, Hollywood attitudes, Facebook, YouTube, Google, everybody's attitude towards nudity from North America is starting to show up everywhere. And we just can't let that continue. So that will be all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you for listening. Again, my name is Stefan Deschaine. I'm your host for this podcast and the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. I make the show with a lot of help from Samantha Graham, who is producing the show and doing the time-consuming editing to make this sound good and pretty and wonderful. So please support her, support us, support what we do through our Patreon. Naturist Living Show is the what comes after patreon.com. You have to type that in, patreon.com/naturistlivingshow. Or better yet, go to the show website and naturistlivingshow.com, where you'll find show notes and links and all kinds of information about this particular episode and all the past episodes. You can find there a direct link if you think we are worthy of your support to our Patreon. Also, please keep sending your comments and suggestions. I really appreciate getting them. Both Samantha and I enjoy reading them. We get a lot of appreciation, and that's wonderful, because still, no matter, it's not the money that keeps us going. I'm not getting any of that money, and Samantha is not doing it for the money. She's always been passionate. So hearing how you appreciate it really keeps us going, and some of your suggestions and ideas are definitely incorporated into the show. And in fact, if you want, you can leave a comment. You can call and leave a voice comment. You can take as many tries as you'd like. And you just dial 905 area code, country code 1, if you're not in North America, 905 area code 473-6060, or toll-free in North America, well, toll-free in Canada and the U.S., 1-888-373-9124, or Skype for free, just Bear Oaks, one word. And then no matter what, that gets you into the Bear Oaks phone system, and you dial extension 333. Which is a Naturist Living Show's extension. I hope you enjoy the show and that you'll join us again for the next episode of The Naturist Living Show.
This episode of The Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bearoaks.ca.
Try being relaxed.
Okay.
Cheers. Cheers. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Five or six.
Yes, it's warm.
It is warm.
All right. Okay, I think that does it, right?